Chapter 24. She kept her palm pressed on the file folder and looked straight at me. Her question hung in the air between us. Did you ID the car? In my head, I heard Garber's emphatic squawk in my ear on the phone in the diner. Do not, repeat, do not give that number to local law enforcement. My commanding officer. Orders are orders. Devereaux said, did you? I said, yes.
And?
I can't tell you.
Can't or won't?
Both. Classified information as of 5 minutes after I called it in. She didn't respond. I said, well, what would you do in this situation?
Now?
Not now. Then, when you were in the Corps.
As a Marine, I would have done exactly what you're doing.
I'm glad you understand. She nodded. She kept her hand on the file. She said,
I didn't tell you the truth before. Not the whole truth, anyway. About my father's house. It wasn't always rented. He owned it from when he was married, but when my mother got sick, they found out they didn't have insurance. They were supposed to. It was supposed to come with the job. But the county guy who was responsible had run into trouble and had been stealing the premiums. Just a 2-year hiatus. But that happened to be when my mother got sick. After that, it was a pre-existing condition. My father refinanced. Things got worse, and he defaulted. The bank took the title, but they let him live there as a renter. I admired both parties. The bank did the right thing, as far as it could, and my daddy kept on serving his community even though it had kicked him in the teeth. Honor and obligation are things I appreciate.
Semper Fi, I said.
You bet your ass.
And you answered my question anyway, as I'm sure you intended. If the ID is classified, then it's a Kellum car. That's all I really need to know. Only if there's a connection, I said, between the car and the homicide.
Unlikely to be a coincidence.
I said, I'm sorry about your father.
Me too. He was a nice man and he deserved better.
I said, it was me who beat on those civilians. Devereaux said,
really? How on earth did you get there?
I walked.
You can't have. You didn't have time, surely. It's more than 12 miles, almost past Kellum's northern limit, practically in Tennessee.
What happened there?
2 guys were out doing something, maybe just taking a walk. They could see the woods around Kellum's fence, but they weren't particularly close to it. A guy came out of the woods. The 2 hikers got rousted. It turned bad, they got hit. They claimed the guy that hit them was a soldier.
Was he in uniform?
No, but he had the look, and he had an M16 rifle.
That's bizarre.
I know. It's like they're establishing a quarantine zone.
Why would they? They've already got about 1 million acres all to themselves.
I don't know why. But what else are they doing? They're chasing anyone that gets anywhere near the fence.
I said nothing. Devereaux said,
wait, who did you beat on?
2 guys in a pickup truck. They harassed me last night. They harassed me again this morning. Once too often.
Description?
Dirt, grease, hair, and tattoos.
In an old black truck, painted with a house painter's brush?
Yes.
Those are the McKinney cousins. In an ideal world, they should be beat on at least once a week, regular as clockwork. So I thank you for your full and frank confession, but I propose to take no action at this time.
But?
Don't do it again, and watch your back. I'm sure that right now they're planning to get the whole family together and come looking for you.
There are more of them?
There are dozens of McKinneys. But don't worry. Not yet, at least. It will take time for them to assemble. None of them has a phone. None of them knows how to use a phone.
And at that point, phones started ringing all throughout the building, and I heard urgent radio chatter from the dispatcher's hutch where the stout woman sat. 10 seconds later, she appeared in the doorway out of breath, holding both jams to steady herself, and she said,
"Pellegrino is calling in from near the Clancy place, near the Split Oak. He says we got ourselves another homicide."